And I don't know if you've ever considered the favor of God on your life. Have you ever kind of just taken a moment just to say, you know, where am I? By the way, we drove through to Claymont yesterday. The guys are ministering to all the kids there at, there's what, 60, 67 kids, I think, from the Kalen High School. And I must say, I'm just so grateful for a team, for Villian, Graham, and the rest of the guys that are there, and they are just ministering their hearts out. And it was such a blessing. Friday night, there were 16 salvations and 12 recommitments at the camp. So we're really trusting God to have a huge impact. I smiled because Villy was going, he said yesterday, before we left, he said, now maybe we should start a youth group at the school. So please pray for us because God is stirring and things are happening. So let's see what God's going to do there next year. But the favor of the Lord, do you recognize, do you believe that you have the favor of God upon your lives? I think sometimes when we you know, when the busyness of life and so on carry on, we kind of get distracted, and sometimes we miss this. Now, this portion of scripture, I actually read it, I think it was my first sermon this year, and I just want to, for those that don't know, this is my last service that I'm here for 2023. I'm going on a sabbatical coming Wednesday for the next 3 months. Graciously, the leadership has allowed me to go on a 3-month sabbatical, and I'll only be back that first weekend in February. Can you let that know, Chloe? And really just looking forward to a time of refreshing with God. I'm going away a bit, doing a few things, spending time, stuff that I want to read and go through and so on, and just refresh myself in the Lord. Why? So that I can serve this congregation better. I've been in ministry for 17 years, and this is my first sabbatical, and I'm so grateful that the leadership is actually allowing me. But I realized, even as I've been preparing for this, that, you know, Pete Scazzero makes the point. He says, for a pastor to continually serve the congregation, a moment of sabbatical is crucial. And it's something that the church has not necessarily embraced, but it's a sabbatical is always unto the Lord. It's always a time that is separated unto God. And I'm not going on a 3-month holiday, although there will be holiday that's part of it, and times of refreshing just even physically. But the purpose of a sabbatical is to draw closer to God. In actual fact, as I've been studying sabbatical, and this is not what I was thinking to say, but this morning, I realized that even when we speak about a Sunday, we don't understand what Sabbath actually means. It's a time that's separated. It's set apart for God. And I believe there's a place where we have to come back to that again, where our Sabbath day, where our Sunday, in our case, is again a time of separation. And as I've been journeying with this now, Pete Scazzero also makes the point. He says that you can even use your yearly holiday as a sabbatical. Because most of us here in your employer is not necessarily going to say, listen, you can go on a 3-month holiday, see you next year. But when you plan your holiday, if you plan it as a time as unto the Lord and you structure it in such a way that you can draw closer to God, I will guarantee you that your flesh will not just be refreshed, but your spirit as well. And it's opened my eyes up maybe in future to structure my holiday times a bit differently. Not just to, you know, when you walk out at work that 5 o'clock that last day, you know, you're heading for the hills, you're doing as little as possible for as long as possible, and that's it. But when we set time away for God, we are being refreshed in our spirit, man. And maybe some of us sitting here this morning are weary because we are not honoring the Sabbath. You know, maybe you're in church here, but man, when you leave here, it's all sorts of other stuff. And a Sabbath is pulling away or drawing away from your natural work and habits and so on. And maybe I should do a teaching next year on just what a Sabbath actually means for us. And I believe even as we as a church come back to that again, that we will see the anointing and the favor and the blessing of God again upon our lives. Because I think we are missing something here. Now, this portion of scripture, like I said, I read it in my first sermon, and it was what I said at the time is this is my response to this year. This is what I want to, the stance I want to take, but I don't want to go back to that. I want to sort of leave you with this to ponder on, not just today, but maybe a bit longer. So let's read Luke 1, verse 26 to 38. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin. Now, it's not Christmas yet, so don't get excited yet. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one of the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this must be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now, I think, you know, what kind of stands out to me here is that, you know, the angel is proclaiming these incredible things to Mary, and if it was you and me just in that moment, what would be the things that go through your mind? You know, when the angel appeared to Mary here, he says, listen, you have found favor before God. Now, I want us to realize, firstly, that she did nothing to earn this favor. Scripture gives no hint, nothing, of why she was the chosen one. Yet, she was. You see, it was not dependent so much on what Mary did, as much as it is a mighty God putting his plan of action. It's going. It's running. He's going to do what he wants to do, and he chose a person for this purpose. His plan of action involved her. She did nothing to receive it. And I think sometimes, you know, when we journey with God, we think we must do certain things to be able to do certain things, instead of just receiving what God wants to do. I think that's why it sometimes frustrates me so much when, and I said it to the kids yesterday, I said, you know, I've never met a dead person with an opinion. Dione was sitting there, and Dione is a policewoman, and she's been in the morgue lots of times, and I even asked her, I said, have you ever walked into the morgue, and then the dead guy goes, excuse me, can I just tell you my opinion about the police? And she said, never. Can you believe that? She was probably very intimidating because the dead people didn't speak to her. And I think sometimes we as Christians, it surprises me when that we as dead people, dead in Christ, have so much of an opinion. And here Mary encounters this incredible moment where an angel appears to her and declares to her the plans of God for her life. did nothing to earn it. See, God sent the angel, God chose the person, and God is executing his plan. Mary was stunned about this. We don't read that she had prophetic words that kind of, you know, were there. Mary, you're going to bear a son when you are this age. There's no prophetic words. She had no dream. She had no, you know, if we think of our general church context here now, she had none of that. She simply, I believe she walked with the Lord, and then God just encountered her right there in that moment. And she was stunned. Was she going to accept this life-changing assignment? Just think of it. This angel is saying to her, listen, you're going to have a son, and he's going to reign. He's going to sit on the throne forever. Now, this is a huge assignment as the mother of the king. And in this case, the King of Kings. What goes through your mind when you receive a word like that? And many of us that are sitting here, God has spoken to us in various ways. God has given you even a sense of what your future is looking like. And what are you thinking about that? Was she going to accept this? She was not married. So there was possible disgrace and rejection. I mean, that was a one concern and a reason for a question is, but I have not known a man. And in their culture, if she was pregnant before she got married, she became an outcast. So she was thinking about this. What was she getting herself into with this angel now appearing to them? I think in my mind, there's probably three things that I think was just like mulling over in her mind in that moment. Was obviously the greeting of the angel. Greeting, O favored one. Probably the first thought was, favored one? But I've done nothing. And the second one is, the Lord is with you. In that moment, to realize that she has found favor with the King of Kings and that the Lord was with her. The second thing that I thought was, you're going to conceive a son without a man. This is going to be a work of God. How's that going to work? What's going to happen to me? How's it going to feel? You know, where's this going to lead me? So many questions. And then the other thing which I think was just that sentence where the angel says, for nothing is impossible with God. I think sometimes in my life, I lose sight of that last little sentence. For nothing, verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. I think our biggest challenge as we walk with the Lord is that when we receive a word from God, we try to figure out how this is going to work. And I think Mary was no different. She was going, how is this going to work, Lord? What is happening here? And I guess it's natural to ask that question. Your mind racing. Mary's mind racing, thinking, you know, pondering, analyzing, how is this going to go? But what's powerful in the end is her response to everything that she heard. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And as we started off this year, I said, this is my response. This is the response I want to have for this year, is God, whatever your word is. Not my thought, not my plan, not how I think it should do, but let it be to me according to your word. And I believe Mary chose well here. In submitting to the God with whom nothing is impossible. And even in just that moment, as she submits to that, our lives are changed. Because our Savior was born. Her decision impacted the world. I wonder if we have to weigh our decisions from that point of view. Is what is, if I say yes, Lord, how's the world going to look when I'm done? I realized a while back, just felt God nudging me that, Quibus, some of the decisions you make doesn't just touch your life. It changes your generations. If I decide to move somewhere, for instance, let's say I decide to go and live in Australia, what I realized is I'm moving my entire generations there. I change the course of everybody that follows me. Now, that's a big decision. The decisions we make every day doesn't just have an effect on my life or my wife's lives or maybe my sons or my daughters while they are young. It impacts the generations. Do you realize, as a congregation, as a church, the way we say yes to God, the way we say, Lord, let it be to us according to your word, doesn't just affect how full this church is or not. It touches the communities around us. It touches Cape Town. And it touches generations. Church is so much bigger than we. Just us sitting here. This small gathering. This is so much bigger. So this morning, I want to remind you that if you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that you are favored. Maybe just nudge someone. Just go like, hey, favored one of the Lord. You see, because the grace of God has brought you to this place. It's not what you've done or haven't done. It's the fact that there was a God who sent his son to this world to die for the world so that he can save the world. And then he had you and me in mind. So God, 34 years ago, pitched in my life. Up to that point, I was a religious boyke. I went to church every Sunday because my parents said so. In the back of an ugly bucky. We lied flat on that bucky in our suits because nobody should see us. In this ugly bucky. Geel. Like this yellow. Bleh, mustard. I can't even say mustard. It was an ugly yellow. It was in an accident. And me and my dad fixed it with hammers and spray paint. We made our own grill. So trust me. If we pitched up on the side. We said, Dad, you drop us off 2 blocks before church. And then me and my brother, we're walking in. You know, I can't have my image now, you know. I have girls to meet and stuff to do, you know. Never mind the dirt on my back of my suit as I was lying at the back of the bucky. No. But we went to church because my parents said I go. You know what was the biggest change when I gave my life to Jesus that night? Is that Sunday? I went to church. Because I wanted to be there. Not because my parents said I should or it was expected or anything. I was so hungry to get to know this God that I've heard about for my entire life. But I realized I don't know him. And listen, for a good NG boyke, I remember, I don't know if you were saved. And I remember walking into that church with this girl. Because that was the next step. Do you want to go to church to us? I went, sure. And we arrived there at church that Sunday. And probably the biggest thing that got under my skin was they had drums on the stage. How do you have drums in a church on the stage? Man, and then they start singing and they're clapping hands. And I'm thinking, this lot is completely weird. But you know the one thing that completely took me off guard there was the love. From the moment I arrived at that church, they loved me like I've been there. I felt so welcome. They were different. I was favored by God to be chosen right there for a life that He wants to use me for. John 15:5-15-16 says this: "No longer do I call you servants." And I want you to hear that this morning. Jesus speaking, He says, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing." Oh man, come on, just hear the Spirit of the Lord this morning, the eagerness of the Spirit of God to tell you what He's doing and He wants to do with your life. "But I've called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask my Father in my name, He may give it to you." You have been favored. You have been chosen. You have a heavenly Father that wants to reveal so much more to you. You are friend, not servant any longer. He wants to reveal to you everything He hears from the Father. Is that not what the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit hears what the Fathers want to say, and then He reveals these things to us. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 says this: "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing." Can I just remind you that if you got saved, you did nothing to earn it. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. The reality is, this life of grace that we're walking out is not due to works. Is there stuff that we do because we hear the Father and He instructs us, and He says, "Listen, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments"? Huh? That portion is in the Bible there too. But I can do no works to receive salvation. I am saved by grace. God encounters me. He touches my life. He chooses me and you for His purposes. And if there's one thing that I want to leave us with as I prepare for these 3 months, is that can we get back to that place where we are fully surrendered to His will as the chosen ones of God, even in a greater measure? You know, my sort of theme for my sabbatical is, what's next, Father? I want to know what's next. I've got prophetic words in my life, and I'm living one of them right now, that God said you will be in full-time ministry. I'm living that right now. I had a sense that God was saying you're going to plant a church. I'm living that right now. Now I'm going, Father, what's next? What is next on your agenda for this life? And I'm trusting God to come back with a deep sense of what that is. What does God want to do? Ephesians 1:11 says this, the God's Word translation: "God also decided ahead of time to choose us through Christ according to His plan." Don't you just love that? Which makes everything work the way He intends. Ah, come on. That's awesome. God also decided ahead of time. He predestined you and me to choose us through Christ according to His plan, which He makes everything work the way He intends. Man, God has such an awesome plan for each one of us. You are so blessed. Just tap someone, go like, yes, you are blessed. You are so, 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 so blessed to have been chosen by God. Psalm 5 verse 12. Love this scripture. "For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. Wow. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as a shield. So I want to say to you, if you've been saved, you've heard the word of God. You've encountered the living God, the God who has chosen you, who has favored you. That loving greeting when he comes to you, proclaiming to you the year of the Lord's favor, declaring over you that you are favored. You see, we do not do stuff for Jesus because we have to. We do stuff because we are his. We have been favored by him. And I love the fact that when I do stuff for God, it is not me producing the fruit, it is him producing that fruit through me. That my life bears the fruit that brings him glory. See, he says, I have set you apart for good works. I know the plans I have for you. I have anointed you to reconcile people to me. And I know when we submit to his plan, it will astound us. It will flabbergast us. It will not necessarily make sense to us. Sometimes it will feel incredibly impossible to us. And that realization that I've done nothing to earn what he wants to do next. I've done nothing for him to choose me. In actual fact, I was a rebel. I was a sinner. I was about it in my own way, and still he chose me. But this morning, I want to say to you that his favor backs you all the way. More than we back the bokke. All right? His backing doesn't fail. You don't have to figure this out. How will it work? But how you respond matters. How you respond to the fact, you know, I think probably after the last couple of years, life has become distracting in certain ways. And to fulfill the purpose and plans of God, our response now makes a difference for the future. My response makes a difference. Because I can settle for the little bit, or I can settle for the much. Will we allow God to birth his plan in us, that we will carry it to full term and give birth to it, and it will change the world? I think that is our greatest call. It's not necessarily to pursue riches or fame or anything else, but to fulfill the purposes of God for this life. I want to close with a scripture, Isaiah 6, verse 8 to 9, and you know it quite well. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. And he said, go. Is that not Matthew 28? Go. Is that not why the Holy Spirit has come upon us, so that we will go and be his witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and all the rest of the world? When the Spirit of the Lord comes. And when we go, let's just read that further. Go and say to the people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. There is people that are hearing, not understanding. There's people that are seeing, but not seeing. And we, as the Lord is anointed, the favored ones need to go. Like that woman went and sat me down and said, hey, where are you going? I cannot tell you how that question rattled me. I thought I had it sorted up to that point. I did everything. I was at church every Sunday. I should go to heaven. What's up with this now? And it broke my heart to realize I was doing that old thing where you sleep in the garage hoping to become a car. I was going to church hoping to become a Christian, and it never happened. I just became more religious. But that day, everything changed. And I know for many of us sitting here today, everything changed. You are not the same anymore. And God has brought you to this point. And He's done so many exciting things in your life already. Oh, it's not over. You still got breath in your lungs, right? Just check quickly. If you can go, I want to tell you, you're still alive. How will you respond from this time forward?